Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome. Today I'm joined by Ian Langshire, who's CEO of Ensilica. How are you today, Ian?
Yeah, very good, thank you. It's a lovely day here in South Oxfordshire.
Well, it's equally lovely here in West London, but away from the weather, the last 3 or 4 years, I think you've been on the market. It looks as though 2026 is going to be your year after a bit of a wait. Can you tell us what the drivers for that success may be? We may be looking to the heavens, I feel.
That's correct. So it's actually 4 years since we IPO'd. May 22. I think you talked about the heavens. I mean, one of the sectors we're very exciting is the space sector, and we did a recent contract announcement there, winning a new constellation. So that's a sort of a satellite constellation with an operator. And there's two parts to the constellation: the bit that goes into the satellite, which is called the payload, and the bit on the ground, which is sort of the user terminal. And we actually won a slot with this new constellation with a European operator for doing a chip that goes into the payload and one that goes into the user terminal. So the really exciting milestone for us. We've had a number of announcements previously in the space sector. First was around AST Space Mobile back in 2021, who were a very interesting US company. We've had lots of sort of studies and smaller announcements, and this was a big one really that has sort of cemented our position as a key supplier into the space sector. And chips are really important. I mean, it's important those satellites are extremely low power, extremely high performance, and on the ground those user terminals people buy to connect to the satellites have got to be low cost, low power, high performance. So we've certainly got a really strong position now in that space sector.
Well, it is interesting that even without today's technology, we did manage to get to the moon a few times, 55 years ago. I'm still scratching our heads about that. But presumably now is the time with Artemis 2 and all that kind of thing going on as well. So is it the case that even though space has been around for a long time, the technology and then the desire to go into space, the satellites, the communications, everything is fitting together at the same time?
It is, although I don't really think it's about the excitement's about putting a man on the moon. It's really about space communications, sovereign independence in that sector. I mean, everyone's seen how successful Starlink is and what a tool that is in providing resilient communications. Whether it's sticking the Starlink dish on a drone or a manned vehicle, or using it if there's a storm and it's taken out all of the mobile towers. I mean, really, people have realised that space is a communication method that everyone's got to have control of, and there's lots and lots of constellations going up. Besides Starlink, everyone would not want to be dependent on just one operator. And there's, we've got Amazon have putting it up there. Blue Origin have announced one. And then, there's a number of European operators like Eutelsat that acquired OneWeb. You've got SES. And then the European Union have got one called Iris too. So there's lots of constellations being planned, and the technology behind it is it's chips. It's exciting from that point of view. I don't think it's about going around the moon.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a few things which are company specific. I think in Back in the beginning of the month, you announced a new substantial shareholder, which was obviously very exciting. They were clearly ready for action. You've got the cross trading on the OTCQX market, so again focusing on America, and that sort of leads me up to my next question. Obviously, you're best of British, or appear to be best of British. Most of the action in your area is in America, and Marvell, perhaps the leader in your space. They've got a $143 billion market cap. You're riding high at 75 million. Is the higher number that I mentioned the direction of travel that you're going for?
I mean, we certainly hope so. And the business model we have is the fabless semiconductor model. We use companies like TSMC and GlobalFoundries as the fabs, and we manage the assembly and test in-house. And this is the same model that Nvidia use. It's the same model that Marvell use, and I mean some great British names like Dialog Semiconductor, Wolfson, Cambridge Silicon Radio. They all scaled on the back of that business model. So it's a tried and tested business model. You need to be able to execute, and we've been around for 20, 25 years. We know how to make chips, and you need to carve out your technology niches and IP. And we've been doing that, particularly with the space sector. We've been working in that sector since 2018, and we've got some pretty key IP. And we're able to scale nicely in that sector.
Right. So just going back to last week's announcement, the 23rd of April, you have those contracts, which you said could be worth in excess of $50 million from 2030. The customer, a leading European satellite operator, I presume that obviously, because you're in the UK, a European one is sort of on the doorstep. But is the goal also to be able to get, go international, and whether it's the US, China, India, whoever else is wants to be up there, will you be touting for that business?
Yeah, I mean very much so. I mean, I think probably China's off the table, but US, India, Europe, I think we're in a very good position. It's not just sort of the technology that's interesting to Europe. We have some differentiated technology, and as I mentioned, we have a company like AST SpaceMobile as a strong US customer. And satellite operators is very much an international business. The satellite might pass over your zone, but it's going around the rest of the world, and that connectivity is also marketed in different ways to different regions, and we're in a very good position there.
Finally, a question that you may or may not be able to ask, or may not be able to or want to answer either. I was going to say, well, let me just say it again. Finally, a question that you may or may not want to answer or be able to answer. But in the case of EnSilica, maybe people will be sort of thinking, well, if you have something IP which is valuable, or know-how which is valuable, could it be the case that other larger companies, which you are already a small company at the moment, think, well, actually, I'll have a bit of that?
So I guess you're talking about acquisitions. I mean,
Yes.
we think we're massively undervalued from a technology point of view, and I mean, not really looking to sell out at this stage. But we believe we're an attractive proposition either for our customers, or we've got to be careful when it comes to early acquisitions. We're certainly not looking to sell. We've got the business model there that can scale the revenue and scale the profitability, but we have to address that if and when it happens.
Well, we look forward to that if and when it happens. In the meantime, Ian Lankshear, CEO at EnSilica, thank you very much indeed.
Okay, thanks very much, Zach.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.